Stephen, welcome back to the show. We were worried. How are you?
I'm not quite 100%, but it's okay. I'm in lovely St. John's, Newfoundland, so I'm sitting here looking out over the harbor, and it's a lovely day, and you know, I'm sick as a dog, but that's okay.
What, like, honestly, I'll never be amazed by some wherever you are at any given time.
Yeah, I know. It's, well, this week was going to be even more bizarre. The last time I was supposed to be on with you guys, which was Tuesday, right?
Yeah.
I was really sick, and I was supposed to be in Timmins on Tuesday. I was supposed to be in Timmins Tuesday, fly home Tuesday night, and then fly to Newfoundland Wednesday. But for the first time in my professional life, I bailed on a flight because I couldn't. I thought my head might explode if I went to altitude. So this week could have been even more kind of strange had I been in Timmins and then in Newfoundland in like consecutive days.
Going to hang out with Shania Twain?
No, we were going to. It's funny. No, I'm working on hockey features right now because the theory was that we better get these all done before the Blue Jays playoff run. So we were going to go. We're working on some Bill Barilko stuff in Timmins, and out here with doing stuff for the Newfoundland stop on hometown hockey in 3 weeks. So that is why I am all over this fine country of ours.
So the Jays. Is it a collapse? Is it baseball? How would you best describe how the Jays have, they no longer lead in the AL East, and they no longer lead for a wild card. The as best as it goes, they have a wild card spot today, heading into the final weekend.
Yeah, well, and they do have the tiebreak. Here's my bit of optimism: they have the tiebreak with both Baltimore and Detroit. So if the season finished today, the wild card game would be in Toronto. But that's about as good. That's there's my optimism for the day. It's not if they don't finish in a playoff position over 162 games, it's because they weren't good enough. And that may be, you know, hard to swallow looking at this lineup and thinking about last year and looking at how good the starting pitching has been this year and continues to be. But that's the one thing about baseball is there aren't a lot of flukes. And yeah, there have been some historic, you know, collapses in baseball. The Phillies way, way, way back when. The Jays in 87. I don't know if anybody remembers that one against Detroit where they lost, like, a 3-game lead or 4-game lead in the last 7 games of the season or something. It was nuts. But, you know, 162 games, it's not a fluke, right? It's pretty much a true test of a team. And I guess we're going to find out over the weekend whether they're good enough to be in the postseason. That was a dispiriting game to watch last night. And, you know, they had somebody come out and, you know, Ubaldo Jimenez has been really good lately, but, you know, he's not good, but he's been really good the last month and he threw a great game at them. But kind of just that sense of the last home game of the season and the futility of it, it didn't really feel for a minute like they were going to score a run against him. You know, Stroman had a sound, pretty solid outing, didn't matter. You know, and that plus the blown save the night before from a guy who's, you know, been really, really good this year. And, you know, emotionally it feels horrible. But they go into Boston. The weather's going to be weird this weekend in Boston. There could be delayed games. There could be postponed games. They could be playing on Monday. But they're going to have to, you know, they've got to probably win 2 out of 3 there to guarantee it. You don't know what the other teams are going to do. Emotionally it feels like they just fell off a cliff. But I think, you know, you got to kind of look at baseball seasons over the long view and say, you know, there have been issues with this team in terms of the offense sputtering, the very star-studded offense sputtering all year long. The starting pitching has been tremendous, you know, and they forced the bullpen to walk a high wire a lot of the time with very thin margins, and that does catch up with you eventually. But I think, you know, if they don't make it, we're going to look at that group of players and say, you know, where'd all the runs go? You know, what happened? You guys were the best offensive team, one of the best offensive teams in history last year, and you're nothing close to it this year.
You'd love to not have to use Sanchez Sunday. It just doesn't feel like that's the way it's going to play out.
No, I think they're going to have to win that game probably. You don't know what the permutations are going to be with the other teams. Like Detroit's playing Atlanta, I think, in the final series, you know, which is a terrible team. So they have a bit of an advantage there. It could turn out that you don't need the last game, but it sure doesn't feel like that, does it? So, yeah, you're going to have to probably pitch Sanchez on Sunday. And then the one thing is they've got a rotation that's 5 guys deep. You know, you take Dickey out of the mix. And, you know, you wouldn't be terrified going into a wild card game with any of those 5 guys. Now, that's not the problem. You know, I'm okay if, if Marco Estrada or J-Hap or Marcus Stroman or Francisco Liriano even starts that wild card game. That won't be the problem. You know, the issues with this team have not been starting pitching. They've been other stuff.
What's your confidence if they do get in?
Well, again, you know, short series, things can change. Pitching is, often definitive in the playoffs. So they could kind of back into the – teams have backed into the postseason before and done really well. You know, I think I could probably pull out an example of a team that's backed in and won the World Series. So, yeah, I think they could win a one-game wild card against Baltimore or Detroit or whoever it turns out to be. And then you go into a series against Texas or Boston or whoever ends up as that team. And, yeah, you got a shot because of the starting pitching. But it's not – again, the kind of emotional part of baseball. Baseball's a funny game emotionally. It's not the same. You know, your kind of emotions rest on how good your starting pitching is that day. If a guy comes out and shuts out another team, everybody feels great. And, you're right back on top again.
It's the notion of momentum, right? You're just sort of saying it doesn't really exist in this sport like it does in others.
Because it's out of your control. Like if you're Jose Bautista as the DH or you're Kevin Pillar playing in center field or Troy Tulowitzki at shortstop, there's only so many things you can do over the course of a baseball game to change the course of that baseball game. Whereas, somebody pitching is going to have the ball in their hand on every significant moment of the game. So you can't play harder, as a position player. You can't try harder to hit. It doesn't make a difference. Again, it's a cliche, but momentum, you're as good as the next starting pitcher. You're as good as the guy going out there on the mound. And that's one thing, if you're a Jays fan, you can feel reasonably good about is that, that rotation has been incredibly consistent this year. Think of the very few times when one of those guys has been blown out early in a start. It just, it hasn't happened very much. They've been really, really good, and they've only gone seven pitchers deep this year. So, that's what you hold on to right now if you're a Jays fan, thinking about this weekend, thinking about a wild card game, thinking about getting beyond a wild card game is, you'll put your guy against just about anybody in the American League in terms of starting pitching.
I am black cloud guy. I am glass half empty. But watching, how do they miss? They were leading. But Tourette's point to a certain degree. I mean, if they get the pitching, they can win two of the next three and get in. But you know that Martin isn't well. You know that Donaldson, throwing that ball away, the balls he's throwing away is completely uncharacteristic. I'm guessing Osuna, there's fatigue there, right? Because he's blown three of his last four? Like that he doesn't do that.
No, and it looks, from an outside point of view, like the velocity is the same or close to the same, but there just isn't that last little bit of movement on his fastball. So he's having to go to secondary pitches more often. And, we kind of figure this, the guy's never pitched. I don't know that there's been a 21. I think the story is there's never been a 21-year-old reliever who's pitched as many innings as Osuna has in the history of baseball. So, yeah, he's probably tired. And there are guys who are beat up. But, the problem with falling back on that completely is you look at everybody else's roster and they've all got the same thing. So everybody's beat up. Again, I think if they don't make it, the conclusion to draw is that they weren't good enough. And then think about 2017, and there's going to be some natural evolution with this roster anyway. But how you tweak that roster, what you do to it, understanding that the pitching's all coming back, except for Dickey. How do you make that a better team next year, a more balanced team offensively next year? And again, I'm not waving the white flag here at all, because I still think that if they get in, they're going to be a very tough out because of how well they pitch and because they still have guys in that lineup who. Other teams don't want to deal with. I think if the season was ending today and they were out, I think we would be talking not so much about, Josh Donaldson's numbers are actually better than they were last year when he was the MVP. We'd probably be talking about the decline of Jose Bautista. But, look at guys like Michael Saunders, all-star game, first half. He's been terrible the second half.
Yeah.
He's been a black hole offensively the second half, and he's not a very good defensive player. You're going to be looking at some of those secondary guys and saying, there's issues in this lineup once you get past the big guys. I've got no problems with Russ Martin's year, with Troy Tulowitzki's year, with Devin Travis's year. I'm quite happy. If I'm management, I'm quite happy having those guys on my side next year. But You know, there are some issues with that lineup, and I think, you know, if they don't make it, that's the reason. You know, it's not about the starters, and it's not about Osuna getting fatigued late in the year. It's, you know, every closer, you know, with the exception of the guy in Baltimore this year, Zach Britton, every closer blows saves. It happens. You know, it's kind of unfortunate for him that it happened on a night when everybody was watching.
Just to stay on the worst case scenario, there's no way Gibbons comes back if they miss this thing, right?
I don't think so. I think it's an easy transition then for them. I don't get the feeling, and I could be wrong about this, but like I would have said with the new guys coming in that Gibby was on borrowed time from day one because he's not their guy. And you look at the history of sports. You always go out and get your guy eventually. You inherit a manager or a coach and you say, well, he's great. But eventually you go out and get your own guy. I think they actually kind of like John. You know, I think they've kind of grown to respect him in the way he does business. But if they don't make the postseason, you know, you've got a pretty clear rationale for changing a bunch of things with this team. You know, not blowing it up because that's not what you should do, and it's not really set up that way. But you know, how do we make it better than it was this year? And my guess is, a different face in the manager's office would be a pretty obvious place to go.
I'll be very curious to see what Boston does in the final game because David Price is slated to go. If it means something to the Jays, versus Texas, right? But why would they put Price out there? I'll be curious to see if they give him the day off in a game that could mean the season for the Jays.
Yeah. Although, you know, he was not very good in his last start. And, you know, the Jays would be quite happy to see postseason David Price because he's not very good in the postseason. So maybe they could pretend it's postseason. Here's the other X factor this weekend. The weather forecast in Boston looks really terrible. So there's rain, all kinds of rain on the East Coast. So let's think about that when you start pushing, you know, a game to Monday maybe, or having to play a doubleheader or something really odd during that last weekend. Just one added call or long rain delays, you know, in terms of dealing with starting pitching.
Yeah, Marco's back's going to love that, hey?
Exactly. That kind of stuff, right? It could change. But right now, if you look at the weather on the East Coast, it does not look good. So this is going to be a very strange and, I think, very long weekend. You know, I think we may be sitting around waiting for baseball to be played for hours at a time. That's fine. Eh?
That's a nice wrinkle I didn't even think of. I hadn't heard. Well done.
It's quite an end. Speaking of ends, the World Cup of Hockey is over. Are you devastated?
No, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was flipping back and forth last night and then I went over for the grand finale. I guess if they had sleepwalked their way to a loss last night, maybe your pulse would have started to race a little bit for game three, maybe. I don't know. There's some good stuff about this tournament. Most of it wrapped up in the under 24 team and the way they played. But I'm not sure, you know, aside from that, are we going to remember anything about this tournament?
Too good for the rest. That's all I can think of.
Yeah. You know, no one else emerged to really challenge Canada. You know, the Americans are a disaster. The Czechs are a disaster. The Finns were a disaster.
The kids were fun.
Kids were awesome while they were there. And that was by far the highlight of the tournament. And everything else was kind of it felt like it was scripted. Not that it was, they needed to fix anything because Canada was so much better than everyone else. But, you know, the outcome seemed predetermined almost from the first week. So, I feel like everybody else did. It was kind of fun to see the finish last night. And it was fun to see the crowd actually make noise at the end, you know, because God, it was dead. But you kind of shrug your shoulders and go, let's start the season.
Ticats Stampeders tomorrow. Who do you got?
It's going to be awful. Yeah, I'm not optimistic about this. And you know how much I love my Tiger Cat. But and I'm supposed to be at that game, although the weather looks awful there. So given my state of health and given the rain, I got to think about it. Ticats are beat up. They're not playing well. Their coach is going to be in the press box, which may be better.
Oh.
Or in the coach's box.
That's ridiculous, right?
Well, everything about it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous that he blew up on the sideline again. And I don't give him any rope on that because Kent Austin's done that a lot. But the league, the dithering of the league, and then this kind of weird half measure. You know, you can't be on the field, but you're not really suspended. So you can be up in the box and you can be talking to the quarterback, and that's fine. But we're going to... I think they've got a little messaging problem at the head office, the CFL, right now.
Boy, that Orridge just comes across as Putin. What an iron-fisted ruler, hey?
I've criticized, like, it's a tough job being commissioner of the CFL. We've had some good ones, and we've had some really, really terrible ones over the years. But it does feel adrift right now. It does. And, if you're a Hamilton fan, this starts with the fact that they made a call in that game, the one that set Austin off. They made a call I've never seen in my entire life of watching the CFL. The center takes the ball. They always move it a little bit to get it comfortable, tip it up on the point before they snap it. And all the Saskatchewan guys yelling, he moved the ball. And the referee hearing that makes the call. Whichever official made the line judge, whoever makes that call. Like, I've never seen that call made ever. So I know why, he was mad. And it was an incredibly crucial moment in that football game. Ken Austin's, I kind of wonder, there's some big loyalties there with Scott Mitchell, on that, running that organization. And obviously, Eric Tillman and Ken Austin are joined at the hip. But you kind of wonder if this season fizzles in Hamilton. They got close. And then this year, it feels like it's kind of coming apart a little bit. Would they part company with Ken Austin and start again? I'd be a tough one for the owner because, he spent a lot of money trying to get as close to the Grey Cup as he did and to get people in the stands. But boy, there's going to be very sour in Hamilton if they fizzle this year.
Well, my man, take care of yourself. Pour some scotch on it.
I did that last night. It didn't actually fix it, but it felt good.
Well, hey, give it another.
Double the dose.
Just one time. Yeah, you may have to go try it again.
Yeah, more is always better, right?
More is always better. Talk to you Tuesday.
See you, boys.